Hello and welcome to Teaching Gwinnett, a Gwinnett County Public Schools podcast. I'm your host, Bernard Watson, and for our first episode of 2024, we're going to talk to some student athletes and their coaches about their successful fall seasons. Casey Parham, Brookwood High School's varsity softball coach, is here, along with two of his players, Madison Oliver and Kennedy Horton. But we begin with Josh Lovelady, Mill Creek High School's varsity football coach, and Miles Gindelsberger, a two-way star on the team. Miles and Coach Lovelady, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Coach, you finished the regular season undefeated. You made it to the Elite Eight in the state playoffs. By any measure, that's a super successful season. But I'm guessing you're a little disappointed it didn't end the way you wanted it to end.
Well, you know, I've been doing this 28 years, and there's only been one time that I ever had it end the way I wanted to, and that was 2 years ago. So I guess it's a game of failures, so to speak, in 27 out of the 28 years that we've walked off as a, quote, loser. But I'm proud of these kids. We were fighting a lot of things, you know, at that time in the playoffs, whether it's, you know, I mean, you got to be healthy. You got to have some things going on. So they'd had a great year. Yeah, well, obviously, we would love to have gone further. But whenever you have a game like that and we played to the best of our abilities, then as a coach, you have to have the maturity to say, all right, we did the best we could. We just came up short tonight.
Miles, how would you characterize the season?
I thought it was an amazing season. We did great. We learned a lot. And I think for a lot of our underclassmen coming up, they got to learn a lot this season, see what it takes to win. And it's going to help us moving forward throughout the rest of their high school and everything.
So, Miles, you were out there in the trenches. You were battling, obviously, trying to win the game. What was that feeling like when you're watching the clock tick down and you realize the game is over and it's not going to turn out the way you wanted it to?
It obviously hurts. It hurts to watch your seniors in their last game, and it hurts to end on a loss. But you got to focus at that point, start focusing on the next season, seeing how you can get better and try and move farther in the playoffs next year and trying to get those underclassmen rising up starters to the potential that they can be.
And Bernard, just to kind of interject on that, on Miles' journey that night, and we don't, it's probably not in the publications and, you know, the after game summaries, whatever it is. We had eight kids that day that had a bug that went through us. So Miles is one of the kids that he texted me and had not eaten in a day and a half and had a stomach bug to where he was eating. It's the first time in my 28 years I had to have saltines on the sidelines. So he was one of the kids that, heck, he went to go do everything he could. His parents, he had went to go get an IV, all right, to get some fluids in him because he just wouldn't keep anything down. So we had to overcome some obstacles. And, again, that goes into that. I'm not going to share that on the after the game because it looks like an excuse. But now, reflecting back to it, like he earned the right to go out there and try to do as much as he could. I know he wouldn't 100%, as well as the other seven guys, because they had not eaten anything for a day and a half, all those kids. So, but we fought, and that's where I can have peace, because you got kids like Miles that went out there and gave all he could, and that's a life skill. You know, he's going to have to call on that when he becomes a husband, an employee. He's going to have to get out of bed when he has the sniffles or whatever it is. When he's a dad, he's going to have to say, you know what, I'm going to have to take my kid to soccer or football practice, whatever, even though he's exhausted from work. Those are life skills that I've been proud on that Friday night. The kids that were down and out could have easily sat there and used sickness as excuse, and they came and gave all they could.
Yeah, it was hard. I didn't have much sleep either. But like Coach says, we try to make a culture here at Mill Creek where we're learning to be better men, and we're trying to learn these skills where you just can't give up, and you have to, sometimes you have to push through things and you have to learn through your losses.
So you entered this season as defending champions. Did you feel the weight of those expectations, Miles?
I always thought of it was us. We were not defined by our last year's team. It was us and our team currently. So those seniors, they can keep it with them, but this was our team. And so we were going to play to our best ability, and we were going to do what we can do. And it was sad that we couldn't do the same thing as last year, but we did. We learned. We learned a lot this year.
And I have to imagine you have a close-knit team. What is it that made you and your teammates so successful this year?
Lots of watching film, lots of brotherhood going on. Like, you have to be able to trust those other 11 people on the field with you or 10 people on the field with you. And, I mean, you have to have a lot of brothership. You have to know what who's doing what, and you just have to trust the people around you. I think we had a good bond on the team.
What did you learn about yourself and your teammates at the conclusion of that season?
I learned how far we could push through, like how much we thought we could do, and then how much we exceeded that, and how much we got into close games and still pushed through. We pushed through adversity every game, and sometimes, like, we had a rough game, and we pushed through and came out with a win.
Coach Lovelady speaks very highly of you. What's his coaching style like?
Oh, he's a great coach. I think one of the, if not the best in the state. But he's always encouraging. He's there. He's willing to change things so that I'm able to understand them. He's able to go over things as many times, because sometimes it gets hard and I don't understand a lot. But he'll sit down with me in the office and we'll talk about it and we'll watch film. And, like, he just connects with players over and over just to get them to be their absolute best.
So how were the coaches, including your head coach, Coach Lovelady, keep you guys focused and motivated throughout really 2 years of trying to reach your ultimate goal of another state title?
Just always talking about what we can be and seeing that our potential is more than what we can maybe see. They see it all. And so they're going to motivate us before every practice even, come out and just push us to be our very best.
So I understand that you are really the definition of a student athlete. 3.7 GPA, high-level football player, track athlete. What's your plan after high school?
I want to go to a good school where I can get a good academic scholarship and everything, but I want to see if I can play football.
And so as you think about next year, you're coming back, you're going to be a senior. You're already a leader, but now you're going to be a senior leader. What do you try to impress upon the underclassmen as well as your classmates about next year and being prepared?
I want them to see how hard I'm going to work all season. And I want them to mimic my hard work, and I want them to put everything they can on the field. And so we will all work as hard as possible, and we'll see where it takes us.
Wash your hands! First, you need some soap, then scrub for 20 seconds. If you don't have a clock near you, then sing the ABC song. Be sure to scrub front and back, under your fingernails, and between your fingers. Dry your hands with a clean towel or a paper towel. For more information, go to www.cdc.gov/cleanhands.
And we're back. Again, I'm joined now by the varsity football coach at Mill Creek High School, Coach Josh Lovelady. And Coach, I asked Miles earlier what it was like to come into the season with those expectations on your back, with defending your state title. As a coach, what was that like?
Well, number one, it's one of those things of, it's never been done here at Mill Creek. And I've never had won a state championship. So, you know, like I said, once you win it, you don't have there's not a manual that says, hey, the season after a state championship. So that as a coach in a leadership position, you're going like, okay, do you copy and paste what we did, whether it's practice, film, and everything else? Or was that only specific to that group? You know, like Miles referred to, this is a new group of kids. Did we have to change practice? Do we need to have less contact? Need more film? So there wasn't really a guide. I mean, when you go to, I've been doing it 28 years. There's a lot of things you can say, well, if we would have been healthier, maybe we should have cut back, whatever it is. You can reflect on a season and say, what did we do wrong? What did we do right to be able to next year? Well, heck, we won a state championship and in good fashion. So it's kind of like one of those things I had to really search the head coach, number one, to find out what do we need to do to keep on getting better with this new group. Two, you know, you had a target on your back. You know, it was one of those like, hey, you're the reigning state champion. You're going to – everybody wanted to knock him off to get their season go, to put that in their win column. To say, okay, if you go beat Mill Creek and they were the state champions, we can, you know, what can we do? That kind of stuff. So you could, and I think Miles can tell you, we got everybody's best game. And a lot of times we got games that were threw us curveballs in the sense of they came out and maybe they did things that we practiced all week long, that like Peachy Ridge. We went and played them and they threw the ball like 78 times. I mean, it was unbelievable, the amount of this changing game plans, and our kids had to adjust it. And I, you know, talking, looking on film, they thought that, hey, let's throw something at Mill Creek that they're not ready for.
20 games in a row you won. So again, as each game ends and the streak continues, what was the toughest part during that winning streak? Did you ever talk about it? How did you handle it?
Yeah, we used the phrase, go 1-0. You know, I mean, and not think about, how, you know, there was never a said, hey, we got 19, we got 20, you know, all that kind of stuff. There was never a, hey, what have we done? It's about what's in front of us, number one. And I think as the coaches and as the head coach, it's always the balance of, and Miles is one of our leaders, of talking to these guys and saying, okay, all right, they're teenagers. They're going to be complacent. They're going to rest and kind of like, hey, the drive may be, you know, and it's human nature. Let's be honest. I'm a grown adult, right? I know that it's probably best to eat the vegetables and the salad, right, and not eat the buffalo wings. But hang on, those buffalo wings are really good, right? So
it's hard to say no to buffalo wings.
That's right. So I think the biggest thing with that was the week in, week out is making sure our kids and our staff didn't get complacent, number one, right? Because you always want to push, and Miles referred to that as always trying to get better. And we've referred to that in our meetings and our film and say, okay, this is where we did some really good things, all right, but here's our improvement list. And on like Mondays, the real heart that we harped on was how do we get better? All right. Yes, that's the back. We won on Friday. Great. That's awesome. We feel good about it. All right. But what do we need to fix going forward? Because we knew every opponent we played was going to try to expose those weaknesses or those issues we had the last Friday.
Certainly no shame to lose to Camden County. They have a great football program there, as clearly you're well aware. What was the difference in that game?
Well, I think number one, you know, we missed on a few opportunities. It was a run, heavy run-oriented team. I think they passed maybe two or three times that night. And so we had to – they were going to play keep away. They were very patient with their offense. So when you look at their offensive mentality, whatever it is, they were going to cut our offensive possessions probably in half or three quarters. So we had to make sure we had to get out of the gate early and not get behind them, if that makes sense. And we missed on a few opportunities. We had a blocked field goal defensively. We had a few stops that we didn't get and early, and that kind of made it an issue. And again, our kids played their butts off, and I knew we, you know, there's a few times that we just didn't fit right, whatever it may be. But Camden County, they're a good team, and they just came out and got after us, and they won. They played well, and there's a few. When you get to that level of the lead eight, things like that, there's some a you got to get lucky. B, you got to be healthy, and three, you got to have about four or five plays in a game that can go one way or the other. It's a catch, or a drop. Right? Is it a fumble or a big run? Those kind of things that can go either way, and some of those things they made happen on their side more than we did that night.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you looked at it as last year's team was different than this year's team. What was the difference between those two teams?
Great question. You know, I mean, there was a lot of similarities. Our kids, number one, I think they buy into our culture and the way that we play bigger than self a lot of times. Like I said, Miles is, you know, he's 6'2", 200 pounds. The position he plays on defense, you go look at any of our opponents, he was outweighed by the guy across him every single week. There wasn't one time that he had a kid that was his same size or smaller. So the idea that sometimes you're going to have to be bigger than self, you're going to have to play with grit, you're going to have to play with, you know, tenacity and doing those things. The playing field was not going to be level physically. That we brought over from the year before to this year. Probably this year, this last year, the uniqueness of that was the difference in as far as personalities, all right, knowing how far kids could go, all right, figuring out. It was a little bit more, the year we won state championship, there's a lot of starters that came back. last year, all right, we had a lot of, okay, how is this going to work? Is this kid going to be able to go 40 or 50 plays? Where is his ceiling? All right, where is it where he mentally, you know, like Miles said, where is it? He's a two-way guy. Where is the law of the lid is what I call it. All right, when you fill that cup, all right, there's going to be a spot where you're going to feel it too full, and all of a sudden you got a mess. All right, and that's what I feel like with players. I challenge our coaches and our players of find where the mental capacity is and physical to where we just go right to the edge, all right, but we don't cause a mess and cause by overfilling.
What's it like to compete in a county where the competition is so tough, not to mention the entire state, but specifically Gwinnett County?
It's tough, and that's where the rigor, the balance between rigor in the classroom and the players that are coming out of here is extremely high. Heck, we, in the last week, I referred to, I've got recruiters come in. I've got 12 of them coming in. And I've got all the way from a Division III, Division II, all the way to Oklahoma, you know, Power Five, you know, people from the West Coast coming in, Utah. I mean, who comes, you know, Gwinnett County except for when you have great kids that have great character, that play hard, I have good academics that they can handle those things. So that's a detriment. So, but week in, week out, there's such good coaching here in Gwinnett County, as well as players in football. So we've got our challenge in week in and week out, that's for sure.
I'm sure you love your staff. What makes your staff different than other schools?
I think it's their commitment level, and they're willing to go the extra mile. What I mean by that, you know, film preparation, giving indicators as far as, you know, finding the in-depth nuggets, if that makes sense, of like against our opponents. Doing the hard work, as well as the relationship building. I can tell you this, Miles is sitting right here. I know there's a part of him that has been ingrained by his parents that he's going to give all he's got, but also he doesn't want to let his coaches down. There's an in-depth relationship with him that he not only for his teammates, but also for his coaches, he doesn't want to let anybody down, and he'll do whatever he can. So that's what's important is our coaches try to foster deep relationships with our players. They care about the grades. They don't just care about the stats. They care about the kid if he's you know, whatever's going on, home, illness, sickness, whatever it is, death, whatever it is. So it's a relationship-driven staff that I'm really proud to be associated with.
The numbers say he's 6'3", 200 pounds, as you just mentioned, but I'm guessing those numbers don't begin to describe who Miles is as a person.
No, it doesn't. And Miles is an example of who we are at Mill Creek. He plays with unbelievable passion on the field. He takes care of his business as far as, I mean, he's, you know, high academic kid. You never have to worry about, he's a multi, you know, his grades and how he's going to handle himself in classroom. He's a kid that you get those emails from as a coach bragging on, going, you know, hey, this kid, you know, Miles, and a lot of our kids are that way, but specifically Miles is getting that email that sometimes you, as a coach, you got to deal like, oh, coach, this kid's head down, not with Miles Gunnelsberger. He's going to be that kid. He's also going to elementary schools, even as a younger kid last year, a sophomore, wanting to go read to our feeder, you know, schools. So he's a well-rounded individual that we sit there and want to hang our hat on as far as he's going to give everything he got. And the physical aspects, I don't care. We know what we got in him and the others on his team that he'll give us both barrels as far as his effort and his ability on the field.
Let's look forward to next year. What's your team looking like?
It's early to tell, Bernardo. You know, we don't really know. We've got some kids, just like Miles sent beside here, that played on both sides of the ball. We have several kids that are coming back that are key players. But you know what? There's a lot of key players that just graduated, too. We'll probably have, by the end of this deal, we had 30-something seniors. A lot of them are great high school players. Of those, probably 12 kids are going to go play at the college level. So there's a lot that we've lost from last year, but you know what? We lose that every year. That's kind of one that our mentality is don't worry. It's not a rebuild, even if we lose starters. It's just a reload. And the expectations, the way we practice, the way we preach, we treat and have the high expectations of that sophomore. I mean, Camden County week in practice. Right? Sophomores that were not starting, that were even freshmen that we pulled up, that we were coaching the mess out of them. And that's where their idea was, you're getting free football right now. Right? The other folks in the state are out of the playoffs, out of whatever. You're working on next year, right? And doing that. So I think it's early to tell. It's January. We got a long way to go. I mean, we're at the age now where kids, you know, puberty hits, you know, they start gaining weight, speed, and all this other stuff. So, but I think we're good. I think we're going to be fine. We're going to be Mill Creek and go put a product on there. And really, it's just one of those things that we got to see where all the pieces fit together, because we've got the pieces to be successful.
Miles and Coach, stand by. Don't go anywhere. We're going to bring you back a little later in the show so we can take part in my favorite part of the show called Pop Quiz.
Are you 65 or older and a resident of Gwinnett County? Do you want to enjoy the best sports and entertainment that Gwinnett County Schools has to offer? Then we've got your ticket, the Gwinnett County Public Schools Senior Pass. You'll have entry into all regular season Gwinnett County Public Schools sporting and fine arts events. It never expires, and it's absolutely free. For more information, call 678-301-7274, and we'll see you at the ballgame.
The Brookwood High School girls softball team just wrapped up another successful season. The Region 4 champions finished 13-2 and came in third in the state. Madison Oliver and Kennedy Horton are seniors on that team. Madison plays third base, led the team in RBIs, and set the school's single-season home run record with 9. Madison, the season's over, and you've had a chance to reflect on everything that happened. How do you characterize the season?
I would just say that it was the best season that I could have asked for, and I was super proud of how we played as a team and just super grateful that that's how my last season went.
Kennedy, I understand you're the team's gold glove, having led the team in fielding percentage and putouts. Do you feel like it was a successful season?
Yes, sir, I do. I feel like this season we had a lot of accomplishments, whether that was like within the locker room, whether it's on the field, whether it's all the way down in Columbus. So I'd say it's like a pretty memorable season.
Well, being senior leaders and the best players on the team, how do you describe the emotions that you had at the end of your last game, knowing that your high school softball career was over?
It was a little bittersweet. It was definitely a mix of emotions. I was sad with it being the last game. Also, super happy that we made it that far and everything that we accomplished.
Yes, I can second that. Coming into the last game at Columbus, I knew it was going to be a last like time playing with them either way. But even though we ended on like a high end, like the way we didn't want to, I still had a memorable time with all of them, honestly.
What was the highlight of the season, both personally and team-wise, for both of you?
For me, I'd say team-wise, but definitely winning region. I feel like that kind of started our entire like playoff run, honestly, because like it showed us that we were capable of much more than we probably imagined. So I would say that. Personally, I would say I feel like I've really shined this year to help lead my team to where we got.
Madison, what about you? What was the highlight of the season for you, both personally and team-wise?
I would say team-wise, I would agree that winning region was the highlight for me, because that's something we haven't been able to accomplish while we've been here. So having that was super exciting. And then personally, I would probably say breaking the home run record, because I never expected that to happen. And I honestly didn't even know about it until I tied it and one of the coaches told me about it. So that was surprising and exciting for me.
Casey Parham is the head coach of Mill Creek's softball team. Coach, how does it feel to place third in the state tournament as a second-year head coach?
You know, I mean, it doesn't have as much to do with me as it has to do with the group of girls we had this year. I mean, it even goes back to last year. A lot of girls that were willing to buy into some new ideas and new things that we were doing, whether it was, you know, on the field or off the field, and buying into the process and what we were trying to do. And it carried over into this year, and this group really, really bought into it even more. And it's kind of the result of all their hard work and all their determination to get to where we got to. And they both mentioned it. The thing that kicked us off was win region. That was something that was on our first goal was to win region. And after that, we'll, you know, address the next goal, which was winning super regionals. And then the next goal was getting to Columbus and competing for a state championship. And the girls, you know, that was their goals, and they set out and almost pretty much accomplished every one of them. And they were two wins away from accomplishing the ultimate goal. And that's nothing to hang their heads about. That's something that, again, it's hard to get to Columbus in general. And then doing what they did getting there was phenomenal. So it's all the girls.
So you mentioned it right there, but I'll ask you directly, what was your favorite moment of the season?
Gosh, I mean, there's a ton of them. Just the memories. I think what I'm going to piggyback off what they did was the region championship. The way that game kind of played out and the way it ultimately ended with a walk-off base hit, it was just the culmination of, like we said, it was game 30, right? I mean, or game 29, I think. We had one more game after that. And being able to accomplish that goal, we knew we set ourselves up for success moving forward from there. So I think, like I said, that region championship kind of set the ball rolling for our postseason.
What was it about your team that made it so special?
The way they went about doing anything. It didn't matter whatever they were doing, whether they were working in the school, they were working on the field, practice-wise, and then just the cohesiveness of this group was incredibly impressive. We had, a big freshman group last year, and we had, some freshman girls that were big pieces this year. But the willingness of this senior group to bring those groups in together and being able to get all those groups together, working together towards the same goal, that was probably the most impressive thing to me to see. Because you see, as a coach, you kind of get to sit back and watch that happen over the course of really, 5 or 6 months from June all the way to October. And you see the things come together and they start to come together. And you start that in summer, and then when all the girls get on campus for school starting in August, you see it even, they start to get even closer and closer and closer. And by the time we were in Columbus, it was like we were, a family of 21. And it was awesome to see.
So it sounds like Madison and Kennedy were sort of the support, the rocks of that team.
Exactly right.
So here's a question for all of you. What team was your rival, the one you just had to beat?
I can definitely speak for all of us. It was definitely Parkview. They're not too far down the road from us. And every time we played against them, we always went to bat with them. And it was like a battle back and forth throughout every single game. And winning that region championship against them honestly made it 10 times better since it was them. So I'll say Parkview for sure.
So when you walk by their school, you walk by some Parkview kids, you got a little bit of extra pep in your step.
Right.
A little swag,
right.
Extra swag, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, what was the toughest team you played, and who just had your number?
For me, at least, honestly, I'd say the hardest game was probably the North Cobb game in Columbus. Honestly, it was a hard-fought battle between both of us, and coming out on top against a solid team like that showed us we were meant to be there, honestly. Like, they have some good pitching in the circle for them. They have good bats all the way around. So I was saying that was probably the one we actually really had to fight for.
I would agree with that because, starting that game off down by, what was it, 5?
No, the North Cup game.
The first one. Yeah, the very first one.
Oh, we were down
7-0. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The second
one. North Paulding, you're thinking
the
of.
Paulding. Yeah.
North Paulding. But, North Cup game was our first game in Columbus. And we ended up being down 1 going into the, the 8th or 9th? Going into the 8th, and Ollie was able to – Madison Oliver was able to hit a go-ahead homer in the top of the 8th, I think, top of the 9th. And then we were able to close it out in the bottom half. And that was what kind of started off our Columbus trip. It was the thing, and kind of what Kennedy mentioned, is proved to all of us, whether it was me and the coaches or it was the girls, the people in the dugout, our fans, it proved that we belong to be there and we deserve to be there. That was a tough game to play in general, because it's anybody down there you're going to play is going to be really good, and to start off with them was a challenge, and being able to overcome that first game the way we did, both playing great defensively, we're great in the circle, fighting and battling offensively, finding a way to win at the end, just proved that we deserve to be there.
Am I right in that the last game was the lowest point of the year, or was it some other game earlier in the year?
Any ideas? I mean, I can't think of a low point, really.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a low point. Honestly, we've been playing East Coweta for a while now, and we knew going into that very last game that we're gonna have to actually work for that one, So it's like, I wouldn't call it a low point, but I would say it was one that it was disappointing for sure, but we still had held our heads high and knew that we fought until the very end.
Coach, when did you know your team was good? It was something special.
Day after we ended tryouts, back in May. We know who our people are then. And, you know, seeing the pieces that we had after we made cuts and we put some ideas together, we knew we had a chance to be really good. It was just a matter of, you know, being able to go out there and put the work in, which they did, and you know, execute, which everybody did. So it was, I never had any doubts or lack of confidence about this group at any point in time. I mean, you go back to May, whatever it was, 5th or 6th, when we got done with tryouts last year. I mean, that's when I knew we had something that we could put together on the field that could be really special.
I mentioned earlier that this is your second year being a head coach of the team at a program that's had tremendous success. I believe you haven't had a losing season since 2006. Do you feel that pressure of leading a team and keeping up with that success?
Not really. I mean, there's not much pressure. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game, right? I mean, it's something that we care a lot about. It's something we put a lot of time and effort in. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's a game and you're there to have fun, right? I think that's also kind of what makes this job easier than others is it's traditionally successful. It's something that kind of just happens. And you kind of, I come in and do my own little thing and it worked. And it's worked so far. There's not much pressure involved, really.
Looking ahead, what does next year's team look like?
Next year's team, gonna miss two very important pieces, five other extremely important pieces that are five other seniors that played a large role as well. We have a lot coming back from a position player standpoint, from a pitching standpoint. There's a lot coming back. And I think this next year is going to be a very different beginning of the year than it was this past year. This past year was trying to get over that hump and get the region championship and be able to get to Columbus. And I think next year's group is going to have it a little bit harder. Now they have the expectations involved that come with winning region championships and come with having success and come with going to Columbus. And now you're kind of expected to do it again. And it's making sure that there's not any, making sure that work ethic's still there and just not saying, you know, well, we did it last year, we're going to do it again this year. That's not the attitude we need to have. We're going to have a new, you know, new attitude and a different approach and an approach that's going to be conducive to, you know, being process oriented and working hard and attaining that first goal, which is winning a region championship and then going from there.
Madison and Kennedy, what does it mean to wear that Brookwood High School uniform and compete? We talked about the success that your school has had in softball. Do you feel that? Do you feel the pressure? Do you feel that pride or both?
Yeah, I would say that there is a lot of pride that comes with wearing the Brookwood uniform, especially being in the Brookwood cluster since I started school. Like, this is the only school I've known, really, and I'm just glad to finish it out wearing this uniform and, you know, having success with it just like other teams did.
Yes, I would say it's like an honor in a way. When I was in middle school, I moved into the Brookwood cluster, so I'm a little bit different than Madison. So I had to meet a whole bunch of new people coming into here, and I feel like, honestly, Brookwood is just a big family. Like, you realize the type of relationship you form throughout the Brookwood cluster. So I say wearing the uniform like every single day was a true honor, honestly.
What will you two miss the most now that the season's over and your career is over?
I would say the bonds I formed, honestly. Some of those girls are like my best friends for life. So I'd say the relationships I built the past couple of months and over the years, like, I've known Madison since I was like 8, 9. So honestly, even after this, I'm still going to talk to a lot of them. And honestly, I would say, yeah, the relationships.
I would agree. Definitely, like, the bonds that we formed with the team is just unbeatable. Like, getting to be with them every day after school and just working together towards a common goal is something that can't be matched.
Madison, what's next for you after high school?
So I won't be playing softball anymore, but I'm going to go to the University of Georgia to major in exercise science.
Awesome. Kennedy, what about you?
I am signed to Allen University in Columbia, South Carolina, and I'm going to become a English major and a minor in professional writing.
Great. And you will be playing softball in college?
Yes, sir, I will.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Coach Kennedy Madison, congrats on an amazing season and best of luck to all of you. I have no doubt continued success awaits you. And with that said, stand by. We're going to take one last break. And when we return, it will be time for Pop Quiz. Welcome back. It's time now for my favorite part of the show called Pop Quiz. Like the name suggests, it's a quiz that none of you knew was coming, right?
Right.
Don't sound so nervous. Pop Quiz is a series of multiple choice and or true or false questions about Gwinnett County Public Schools. The hope is, at the end of Pop Quiz, our listeners will have learned a few interesting facts about the school district and you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah. Yep, we're ready.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. How many state titles has the district's adaptive sports program won in the last 10 years? A, 2, B, 8, or C, 5?
I feel like it's pretty high. I want to say 8. What do you think, Coach Love?
It's 10 years, so 80%. Gwinnett's great, but that's a pretty high percentage when you come talking about state championships. Yeah. Let's go the middle. You know, in doubt, always pick C.
Going with the always guess answer at C.
Yeah.
Go with C.
Incorrect. Ah. The correct answer is actually 8. So, Miles, you had it right. But you listen to your coach, and sometimes you got to do that. You got to go down with the ship when you listen to your coach sometimes.
It's all right.
The adaptive sports program for Gwinnett County Public Schools has won 8 titles in the last 10 years. This one should be pretty easy for you all. Question number 2. What was the last GCPF school that won a state title in softball? A, North Gwinnett in 2021. B, Lanier High School in 2009. C, Duluth High School in 2015, or D, South Gwinnett in 2019?
I feel like I remember North Gwinnett being good. I remember hearing that.
I'm going with him. He's at the hot hand.
A, North Gwinnett.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
It was North Gwinnett. They won the state softball title in 2021. Question number 3. What was the last school to win both the girls and boys state titles in the same sport? A, South Gwinnett High School. B, North Gwinnett High School. C, Norcross High School. Or D, Duluth High School.
Norcross.
Norcross. Norcross is a good school with sports, so I'm going to go Norcross.
Yeah, I think so. There were some tough years there that South Gwinnett had, you know, Lewis. There from the, he's in the NBA, won the sixth man for years and years, but I think they got close, but I'm going to go with Miles, Norcross.
Correct. Norcross High School won the state basketball title in girls and boys basketball in 2022, last year. Question number 4. True or false? GCPS had more graduates taken in the 2023 NFL draft than 42 states.
True.
Oh, definitely true. I know that we get from year to year. I know the talent coming out of here. And you see it on the paper. You see it all around. True.
That is correct. And from my understanding, there were 10 GCPS grads that were drafted in the NFL last year. Okay. There are 2 questions left. And these are the hardest questions there are. Okay, so you guys have done very well so far. Do you guys need any time to recharge or, you know, call anybody for help? You good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
We're good.
We are. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Question number 5. Kobe Bryant and Collins Hills High School's own Maya Moore are taking on LeBron James and Iowa basketball superstar Caitlin Clark in a 2-on-2 game. Who is winning?
I mean, I'm old Gwinnett, so I'm never gonna go against Maya Moore, ever. I'm never gonna go against her, so I'm picking that side. But that's just me. They may pick somebody different, but I watched Maya Moore play in high school. She was ridiculous.
I mean, Caitlin Clark is a beast too.
She a dog.
I know. I know. But
I've heard Caitlin Clark's name a lot.
Y'all can decide.
Yeah, I'm going with LeBron and Caitlin.
Yeah,
LeBron and Caitlin. Well, I'm going with Maya Moore. Whoever she's playing with, it doesn't matter.
That's some very big star power, especially when you get the Maya Moore, you know, connection with Gwinnett County. She dominated, wow, in high school and college. But, you know, the problem is you know, we all get older. There's a lot of things that I used to be able to do that I can't do. And I just don't know. I'm sure both of those older folk, you know, they're out of their prime, so to speak, when it comes to athletics. We all have that. What do you think, Miles? I was thinking more LeBron and go for the younger generation.
I'm thinking more Kobe's team. That's where I'm kind of leaning that way. I'm thinking.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll go with you. You've been the hot hand, Brent.
All right. There is no right or wrong answer. Just wanted to see what you had to say. Final question. Okay. This is the hardest one yet. NBA GOAT. Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Michael Jordan, all day.
I don't want Michael Jordan, so I honestly
have no idea. Ollie's like, I don't want that. You got who?
Michael.
I'll say Michael Jordan.
That is the correct answer. Michael Jordan was the correct answer.
I think he's done more, he's won more, and he's in a harder era of basketball. I think now it's softer, and I think overall, Michael Jordan is better.
Here I go.
You know, I tend to agree. You know, it was a physical game back then. And now I think it's more skewed towards offense. I think it's more, you know, I mean, look at the scores compared to what it was back then. They're scoring, you know, people are scoring 60 a game, you know, 50 a game per, you know, and full final scores are 130 to 120. So scoring now is a little easier. And I think back then it was a rough and tough game and what he did. And especially whenever you talk about a team, with this collection, he was obviously the GOAT, but he also had a collection of folks, and consistency. I mean, he was with the team for a long time, of doing it year in, year out. So, I'm going to go with, say, I agree with Miles.
Stand by, everyone. Our crack team of accountants are tabulating the results and all of you passed. Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you for spending time with us. I wish you all continued success in the classroom, on the field, and in life. That's going to do it for this edition of Teaching Gwinnett. Please be sure to tell all your friends and family about the podcast and make sure you hit the subscribe button. You can find Teaching Gwinnett on the GCPS website and wherever podcasts are found. Until next time, take care.